Today, our presentation, Serving with Spirit, is going to be made by Joan Carolyn. Joan works for the Canadian Unitarian Council supporting congregational development in BC and the Western region. She has been a member of the First Unitarian Universalist Church of Winnipeg since mid-2000. She's married to Ken Nicholson and shares with him two sons, a daughter-in-law, and two grandchildren. Joan has a Bachelor of Arts in World Religions and Cultural Anthropology. She has a Bachelor of Theology and a Master of Divinity in Theology and Peace Studies. Outside of the classroom, Joan is a lifelong learner with training and experience in conflict resolution, and she is co-founder of Thompson Mediation. She is trained and experienced in cycles of violence and wellness planning, and has participated in Aboriginal awareness, including taking classes in Cree. Her primary areas of work, both paid and as a volunteer, include senior services, hospital ministry, and as director of several community programs. She has been involved in youth projects, in mediation, and in violence cessation and wellness planning for those assessed at high risk to reoffend upon release from prison. Joan is excited about her work in congregational development and is looking forward to talking to us today about serving with spirit. Welcome, Joan.
Good morning. It just feels so natural to me. The Canadian Unitarian Council made a commitment a couple years ago to walk alongside the 94 calls to action arising out of the 2014 Truth and Reconciliation Commission. One of the commitments was that we would begin any talk that we did by acknowledging the treaty land upon which we were meeting. And because I'm not sure, you're going to have to correct me. If I was in Winnipeg, I would say that I was on Treaty 1 and the homeland of the Métis. And here there are lots of hands saying Treaty 4 and also homeland of the Métis. So I just want to start there. And also with a word of apology, I should have said this during the candles. What an honor and a privilege to be here today when Jamie and Hillary are named as the lay chaplains. I'm so grateful to be here. I'm a little technologically challenged. So, do you wish that your experience, or sorry, that you experienced your participation in your fellowship as an expression of ministry, not primarily an obligation to do your part? And so, in the words of Howard Thurman, don't ask what the world needs. Ask what makes you come alive. And then go do it. Because what the world needs is people who have come alive. So sharing, that's what I want to do today. Some sharing about what makes us come alive. Or as Frederick Buchner, he's an often cited Presbyterian minister, speaks of the world's deep hunger meets your deep gladness. So this past week, I had the privilege of meeting together with Reverend Fulgence Ndaji Jimana, and one of the questions I asked him was this: what gifts does he bring to Canadian Unitarian Universalists? And it hasn't escaped my attention that you all are going to be having more visits from Fulgence than just last week. Anyway, his response to my question was in part to create an awareness regarding the need to share the good news. Now, in a lot of Unitarian Universalist circles, there would be a little bit of unease around saying sharing the good news. However, he went on to say that it is the good news, it is that which makes us come alive and which draws us to Unitarian Universalism. And that's what he wants people to be sharing. So, I'm more of a participation kind of person, and as we begin our time together this morning, I want to invite you first to sit back, close your eyes and consider what makes you come alive. As Reverend Hillary and her UU planning team reflected, Thurman's words are wise, and it turns out that what the world needs are precisely the same things that make each of us most alive. Not just excited or agitated or stimulated, but purposefully, meaningfully, and deeply alive. So take a couple minutes right now. What makes you come purposefully, meaningfully, and deeply alive? My first question to you, and your responses are closely tied to a second. What about being here within the Unitarian Fellowship Regina helps to keep you alive? Have you found here the springs which fill your life's well of energy? So what here keeps me alive? Would you take a minute now, find someone to chat with, or you can talk to yourself, whichever works. Anyway, would you find someone to chat with and share with them what you thought about that made you come alive, and what about being here at this fellowship helps to keep it that way? So find someone to chat with and share. Okay, folks, as the speaker, I'm going to reserve the right to call you back, but I want to thank you for engaging. Because if we're talking about what makes us come alive, it's not just me standing up here. It's all of us together. That leads to a third question for me. If something has made you come alive, and if gathering here together also helps you come alive, then how can we live out that rich resource within us of having come alive? And I want to talk now about the ways in which our Unitarian Universalist communities can help us give voice to those passions. There are some in our UU world who are fortunate enough to be able to have their passions as their primary vocation. That's not just as a minister or a director of religious exploration. That can also be a scientist or a teacher or a doctor or a nurse or a cook or a parent. So whatever it is some people have as their primary vocation, something which comes out of what makes them alive. Within our UU groups, however, there are a few full-time vocations in which people might find themselves able to express their passions, that which makes them come alive. However, there are many other small groups within our fellowships and congregations in which we can come alive. So I just want to say something really quickly about the first one, Caring Community. That's one that Reverend Karen Fraser Gitlitz named about all of you, that she thought that that would be one part of being here that would make you come alive. I'm also pleased to have discovered a new group here that has not only grown out of a passion of some of you within, but has also drawn some new people from the outside to seek a place here to come alive. And that's that Calls to Action Truth and Reconciliation group. Others have found within our UU communities ways in which they can express their creativity with the ritual as lay chaplains. And I came up with that idea before I knew that this ritual was happening today. Serendipity. Still others seek places in which they can brainstorm ways in which to feed the mind and spirit in worship, either planning or delivering. And there's so many numerous ways to get involved. Some, like the first, are new, and others are long-term and very familiar to many. Our spirit of coming alive may not easily fit into one of the volunteer opportunities within our fellowships. Then that passion may find expression as something we add to everything we do. There's a strong movement among Canadian Unitarian Universalists to see all that we do within our fellowships as gift, our service to and with the wider community. From the more obvious, things like pastoral care, lay chaplaincy, worship, to at times the less clear, like the Properties Committee or the Finance Committee. All our gifts to the community and meetings should reflect that. So the environment we seek to create and the manner in which we engage in our meetings can reflect our joy. Opening with a chalice lighting, even at the Properties meeting. I have to just say that because the Properties people, when I suggested this in our home church, thought this was the dumbest idea ever. Now they do a check-in and really enjoy it. Inspirational reading, a covenant of how we will be together, or perhaps reading sections of our fellowship covenant or mission. Perhaps it is something else which makes you come alive. Humor, art, baking, the list is endless. And yes, elements of these can be brought into our meetings or tasks as well. Want to hear one joke that someone brought to the budget meeting? And it was a budget revision meeting on its third draft? Okay, one of the budget committee members was a grandfather and is so proud of his grandkids. And he had a 3-year-old granddaughter who just loved to share jokes. So, you got to remember, third budget draft, this is the joke that he shared that she had just told him. What did the snail riding on the back of the turtle say? I also really want to invite you to think about things that maybe some of us consider mundane, like the budget committee or finances, as places that for some people in our midst are what makes them come alive. And yes, I just wanted to show you a picture of Tanya, who is a young adult who sits on the Canadian Unitarian Council board and is our new financial wizard. And if you are interested in grant writing, she has written a book. And it is in the CUC newsletter from October. So, what may be mundane, and please don't ever make me be on the finance committee, is what makes other people come alive. All right. There are also times when we face life challenges. And then we need some help in keeping that flame alive within us. And I've always loved this quote from Albert Schweitzer. At times our own light goes out and is rekindled by a spark from another person. Each of us has cause to think with deep gratitude of those who have lighted the flame within us. I've been made aware that there are some ongoing challenges within this fellowship, and it's been my privilege for the past 3 years working in this position with the CUC to have met with your board and sometimes all of you in a workshop. So whether that challenge is a familiar topic, such as, what do we do with this building? We love it, but it's getting a little older. Or a newer plan to meet with the board and committee chairs to brainstorm ideas for restructuring to keep tasks reasonable. When in these times of challenges, there are some great things that we as UU communities can do. As individuals, all of you have considered options from your own perspective, and many of you have sought good information and been willing to share your ideas. You've also met together as a group to share wisdom and conversation as you seek to keep this community alive and well. All true to our UU sources of wisdom, which respect the power of the individual and corporate journeys. Now, I also want to share a gentle and warm welcome to connect more broadly so that you can make decisions and move on to what might be tough things. Just a couple of stories here. Do you have any concerns regarding committees and getting everything done, especially with a limited number of people? Well, Reverend Jessica Purple Riddella from the Grand River Unitarian Universalist Church has a story and welcomes anyone who's interested to come and connect with her. They were a committee overload congregation. They had 27. Wow. Winnipeg has 33. So people were getting overwhelmed with tasks to be done, and things and people were falling by the wayside. So they got creative, revisioned a whole new way of being, and have now cut those committees down to 5. With task forces and interest groups to carry some of the other projects. And you know, they are getting buy-in. It's working. Grand River has had its ups and downs. Their membership has been as low as 10, and they thought they were going to close. And in 2008, they were up to 120, and that's when Reverend Jessica joined them. And get this, once their new committee task force structure was in place, they exploded in 2016 and grew to 174 members with over 200 friends of the congregation and 85 children in their religious exploration classes. Now, for any of you that know, that's pretty shocking in the UU world. And they are staying alive. They clearly enjoy each other's company. Jessica talks about dancing together, laughter, foolishness, and play at all ages, not just the kids. And in the midst of all this fun, Reverend Jessica noted that there is actually an increased expectation of membership, not decreased, in giving of money and time and action in the wider community. And then there's their children's program, but I don't want to keep you here till 1 this afternoon. So that's a story for another day. Jessica refers to it as the magic story. So if you don't hear it from me, check out Grand River and ask her. There are a number of other stories that come to mind regarding the high value of linking with your fellow UU communities for that kind of rekindling of the flame when your lights get low. The last congregational story that I would like to share comes from the Comox Valley Unitarian Fellowship. They are also heavily lay-led. They have a minister coming in, I think, about 6 times a year. And they've needed to get creative about meeting space. And it's been quite the journey to decide to share accommodation with the local United Church. This is not the answer for all groups. However, it's worked well for them. They have found themselves not only able to share space, but also to share resources and shared in social action, thus speaking with a more visible and powerful voice. And some of you here might have interest in connecting with this small group, as they have worked to create a regular weekly pattern of services, but with a twist. Twice a month, they meet for a service in which a member or a local guest does a presentation similar to what I'm doing. Once a month, they meet for music, whatever that might be. And the last time they meet, it's a TED Talks conversation. And it doesn't have to just be TED Talks. They can choose other things. But it takes away some of that stress. And did you think I forgot the months where there are 5 Sundays? Oh, no. On those months, it's potluck and a social. So, just an invitation. Your board or committees are welcome to connect with me regarding concerns and congregations with whom to connect. You're also welcome to join the CUC leaders group and put an ask out regarding your area of concern and then sit back and wait to see who talks to you. And sometimes those have been very active, and when my colleague Linda and I see a lot of action, then we create a webinar or a round table. So we are responding to what is alive in our member congregations. So, prior to leaving these stories of networking for support, I want to add one final resource. I would have to sell my office, right? Canadian Unitarian Council. And I just want to have one quick example. That calls to action group here, Truth and Reconciliation. It's early days and the fires are burning high. However, should the desire in that group arise to network, not only for resources, but also for a shared voice, I invite you to the CUC webpage. And currently, there's a reading challenge to actually read the full Truth and Reconciliation Commission report. And there are discussion groups, several of them, as you read through. There are also 5 Truth, Healing, and Reconciliation reflection guides by age. And 3 of them are available free online. So if you become interested in facilitating other groups learning from these types of material, there are also training sessions to become a facilitator with some of these materials. All of the above to add to the fire which keeps that particular concern alive. So, just a couple of examples of how to keep the flame alive within yourselves and within this community when challenges arise or when you are seeking to broaden horizons and power base. I want to come back now to what I started with, the quote from Howard Thurman. Don't ask what the world needs, ask what makes you come alive and go do it. Because what the world needs is people who have come alive. And again, there's so much in his life story that I could tell, but I'm going to stay away from that. As I said, I want to take us back to our beginning with a final story. It's one that celebrates acting out of the center of what makes you come alive, as Thurman's quote so eloquently calls us to. So, here's a story from a recent Serving with Spirit, Nurturing UU Lay Leaders retreat, which highlights just a few points regarding nurturing our inner fire. So let me start by setting the stage. As my colleague for Eastern Canada says, we desire to nourish people within our UU community, not burn them out. So a team of ministers and lay leaders and Reverend Linda, who does my job on the other half of the country, and myself worked to create a retreat which addressed a shared, strong request arising out of the evaluation of our former lay leader training series. Participants from the earlier series highly valued the trainings, however, found themselves wanting a retreat which would ground them in how they got involved. Some spoke of spirituality. You can imagine how that word goes over in certain circles. Others found the phrase sustaining practices more helpful. And as we gathered in both Ontario and Alberta, we had a broad spectrum of people involved. There were men and women from across Canada, 20s to 80s in age range, theist, atheist, polytheist, the list goes on and on. They all sought something to ground the way in which they would be involved, a balance of action and reflection, a time to get busy and a time to meditate and gain perspective and strength. And they also built some great relationships in that 2.5 day period. So here is the story from just one participant that I'm going to call Michelle. So Michelle and I were sitting out in a garden, watching the night sky. We had worked together over the past 2 years on some very difficult situations within her fellowship. Those situations weren't finished yet, and there was still work that needed to be done. However, she had reached a point of exhaustion and wanting to quit. I supported her in making that decision and welcomed her to come to this retreat to spend some time reflecting on it. At the retreat, in a space of sharing challenges, successes, brainstorming new approaches, and offering support, she felt rejuvenated to the point of recommitting to her leadership role. The spark had been reignited. But she wasn't going back into the fray in the same way she had before. She had some new guidelines for herself to be engaged, but to set some good boundaries and to let go of necessarily needing certain results. As we sat there in the darkness, observing the full web of life all around us, she expressed frustrations, cried, let go, and shared some stories. And eventually, she began to laugh at how overwhelmingly important all the issues had become and how tied she was to certain results. So we sat there in silence, stargazing. And then from a much larger perspective, she made some plans to refocus how she would be involved. She may well indeed quit at some point. However, with some new guides for her own involvement, some new networks of support with all these other lay leaders she'd been meeting, she was committed to re-entering the fray. That which was alive had been reignited and was now being gently cared for. So we've only skimmed the surface regarding all the facets involved in keeping our spirits alive and engaged. My hope is that this community in Regina may be a community which invites people to voice, give expression to that which is alive within them, provides opportunities to engage with the full world around us, and supports the balance of nurturing as well as utilizing those fires. And in the words of Reverend Fulgence, may we share the good news of that which draws us to UU.
Usually after our presentations, we have an opportunity for people to make comments or ask questions. So if you're willing to, are there any comments that people would like to make or questions they have?
Members of the fellowship, that they expect to succeed with their plans, what is the focus of your, where do your strengths come from? Because the strengths you cannot find in yourself. That is maybe my misunderstanding, but my experience is that my strength comes from my faith. And that my reference point is my Lord. And I also feel I am accountable to my, and where are the, and I'm sure that I couldn't do anything if I was expecting it from meetings, from other people's experiences, and so on and so forth. So that is just my question.
Eloquently put, thank you for sharing that. And if I wasn't clear, and I didn't spend a lot of time on it, we used to do training sessions to help lay leaders develop the skills they would need with certain tasks in a congregation. And 4 years ago, so before I started this work, they reevaluated that, and one of the things that was asked for was that retreat, that guidance about how to ground yourself in a power greater than yourself, however we choose to call that. And so that is what led to this retreat of serving with spirit, so that people would learn how to take not only the fire within us, but the support from other people, as well as call on and meditate within the support that comes from elsewhere. So thank you.